Yappy Program on WVNN.
Oh, that is right. It is the Yappy Program, and it is Friday, and I appreciate you all joining me right before your long weekend. I am looking forward to the long weekend, but unfortunately, some bad news already to start the long weekend. It's like, I know nothing but bad news lately. Look, I don't control the news, but the new jobs report is out, and it's not good. It's much worse than they expected, although I love when they say, we expected this to be better, and I'm like, well, I didn't. You want me to be surprised? I'm not surprised with the way this economy is being managed right now. So to talk about this and more, we got our good friend Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government, which, of course, you can read more about them at getliberty.org. Rick, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing pretty good. So your reaction to the jobs numbers that came out today?
Well, I think that the key to the jobs numbers is that our civilian labor force, I'm going to go beyond the number of people who got jobs and that, and really think about what's happening with our labor participation rate, with the number of people who are participating in the labor force. Because the single most important job number that exists is the gap between the number of jobs available and the number of workers willing to fill them. And that number remains enormous, and it's a problem. It's a problem all across the country. In a state like Alabama, you have a relatively low unemployment rate. In fact, you've got in some states, and I didn't look specifically at Alabama this morning, but or actually a couple of weeks ago in the state, but most of the states that are conservative Republican states have almost fully recovered in terms of the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate is largely driven, the 5.2% is largely driven higher by states like New York and California, which have higher unemployment rates, Illinois, big Democrat states with higher unemployment rates because they chose not to recover their economies. So that's a simplistic way of looking at it. The deeper way is our problem is that we have a lot of people sitting on the sidelines who are not counted as being part of the civilian workforce, who are not looking for jobs, and who are, in fact, part of a problem and not a solution. We have to get people off the sidelines into the workforce. And if we fail to do that, our economy won't fully recover, and it is almost impossible to get the get the labor into the workforce that's needed to get to advance the economy. So that's the real problem, is people on the sidelines. And unfortunately, the labor report that we get doesn't actually reflect that, except for when you compare it to the another report that Department of Labor does called the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Report, which the last one showed 10 million jobs available that were unfilled.
So one thing I do have to say is I like how you brought a little bit of good news today. You said you were going to do that, and you did. So the good news is Republican states are doing much better because they have much better economic policies. So first I have to say good.
100% correct. And, if you wanted to take a thread with that, we always focus on the national level, and obviously I'm in D.C., and you call me up to talk about the national level. But the action, the real action, where the rubber meets the road is in your state, it's in your local city government, it's in your local school board. Those are the places where you can make an immediate difference in what's happening, whether it's about mask mandates, whether it's about economic policy, whether it's about, where businesses are going to be placed, what kind of schools you're going to have. Those are the places where you can make a real tangible difference. Your federal legislator basically comes to Washington, D.C., and I'm not dismissing that because it's really important. They deal with national issues that are really important and international issues that are important. But what they do, by and large, is they attempt to put the money that goes to the federal government back to the states to allow the states and the local governments to then do their job. The fight in D.C. is almost always over what string should be attached to that money. And so the perverse situation is your listeners pay money to the federal government. The federal government, then the elected officials, then battle over where that federal money should be spent. They choose, they send some of it back to the states. Then the states battle over where that money should be spent. They send some of it back home. And so you send the money to Washington, D.C. to go through Montgomery to get back to your local town to decide how it should actually be spent on things that matter to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good
the
point.
The vague off the top. And so you put a dollar in and you get 27 cents back. And, you know, all in all, it seems like a good deal to people in Washington.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Sorry.
that's okay. So I did want to ask you as well. Joe Manchin came out and said he's not going to support the $3.5 trillion spending bill for many of the reasons we've talked about on this show. It sounds a little bit like a Republican on that. Does that mean it's dead? What do you think?
I don't believe it's dead. I believe Joe Manchin's negotiating and it's exactly what I think we talked about last week about this, because a lot of people are going to kind of try to negotiate the price. The important thing is to negotiate the features. The price, they're going to spend the money. They'll spend the money one way or the other. I hesitate to say this because the money is a big deal. The increased debt is huge. Manchin's article, I could have written it. It really lays out the problem in terms of the debt and the like. The key words he used in it, though, he wants to put a pause in the discussion. And pause doesn't mean dead. Pause means I want to take a few minutes and take a look around, stick my finger in the air and see what we can get away with. And so to me, that's the key word in his entire statement, was he doesn't say, I will never vote for this no matter what. He says, I want to take a pause and find out what the effect of the Delta variant, what the effect of inflation and various other things that this spend would impact. And he's right to want to do that. That is exactly the right approach. When I say features, though, as opposed to cost, when I talk about features, what I'm talking about is, are they going to make it so we force feed electric cars down America's throats? Are we going to make it so it's illegal to drive an internal combustion vehicle? Are we going to make it so the federal government controls where your housing decisions in your local community? Are we going to make it so in the West, cattle grazing is no longer allowed on federal lands or becomes cost prohibitive on federal lands? Those are big issues. Are we going to make it so our energy, so we're not able to develop real energy sources that are sustainable, like oil, natural gas, and nuclear, and coal for that matter? Or are we going to make it so we're dependent upon so-called renewables an increasing level when we know that renewables fail because and that the battery technology doesn't exist to be able to hold power? So when the sun goes down, your electricity availability goes down. So those are all real problems, and those are the things the left wants funded. And so when they talk about the $3.5 trillion or $2.9 trillion or $2.5 trillion, the key is how they're going to spend it, what the mandates are. Because those mandates, the features, are what going to dictate the policy for the next decade. It's the dollars. They can add or subtract dollars depending on who's politically in charge. But if the features are there, if the dictates are still in there, we can fight it in court, but Congress will have authorized it. So we'll lose. So that's the problem. We can't just look at the number. We have to look at what they're trying to do and make sure they're not able to do it. And so the real thing we want to have done is we want this whole thing to be nixed, because we won't be able to catch everything. But at the very least, we need to be able to strip out language that makes it so we can never become energy independent again.
Yeah, you know, that is a good point, because it does seem like, especially with Joe Manchin, that the focus is on the number and the number being too high. And that's an easy thing to criticize. But yeah, when you get into the details of this, I mean, this is structured by Bernie Sanders, basically. And it's structured in a way that doesn't just cost a lot of money, but gives a lot of power to the bureaucracy to regulate our economy and to push that green energy stuff. So, I mean,
100%.
You make a good point.
And oh, by the way, the senators will tell you, oh, we voted overwhelmingly. They may have even voted unanimously to not fund the Green New Deal with this. And they, you know, it was a very nice vote, and everybody was all happy and clapping each other on their back. We really did something here. Green New Deal is a marketing slogan. It is not legislation. It is not law. It is not language in a law. It is a marketing slogan. So when you vote to say we're not going to fund the Green New Deal, what they're really saying is you can't put the words Green New Deal into this bill. Okay? It's like saying I'm going to ban the EDSL and but come out and say, oh, yeah, I banned cars. Okay? It's stupid. But, yeah, that's, you know, so often what happens in Washington, D.C. So understand the bones of the Green New Deal are built into this system, into this bill. Hmm. And that's where I talked about the features have to be stripped. And because if you're going to spend the money, I want it to be a strippy. I don't want any features because the features are all going to be terrible. Now, taking a look, and I know I'm getting into a little Washington, D.C. kind of stuff here. I'm trying to make it sense.
Our audience knows this stuff. So
what the demand should be on people in your state, legislators on your state is, you know, cut the dollars. But you have to make it so it doesn't do certain things. It cannot put the infrastructure in place to end our energy and possibly for energy independence by taking away natural gas, nuclear, coal, and oil, fossil fuels as a majority of the solution in America. That's one. Two, they cannot. They're going to have to pay for this. They have to come up with $350 billion a year for 10 years in payments. They cannot put the death tax, a massive death tax, back in place to help pay for this, because that will destroy the small family farm and small businesses ever bit as surely as if they said made them illegal. The pandemic hurt the small family farm. The pandemic hurt the small family businesses really significantly, well, a lot more than hurt the big businesses. Putting a death tax in will, in fact, encourage those business owners to sell the big corporations and to become, and will end the American free enterprise system as we know it. So they have to stop that. So those are the kind of things that are the features that need to be stopped. And if we do our job, we'll stop them. If the left doesn't like it, they won't pass it. And then we all win. Yeah. You've got an advantage. Our advantage is I don't want it to pass. I don't need it to pass. It's a bad bill from start to finish. So, but if we have to take something, let them spend the money. Just don't let them spend to destroy the country.
Okay, yeah, and I agree with you. Unfortunately, we're just out of time. All I have to say about the Green New Deal stuff is I can't take them seriously. If they're not going to promote nuclear energy, which is the best way to get rid of carbon emissions in our energy system, then I don't take them seriously. Rick Manning with Americans for Limited Government. Appreciate you joining the show. Find out more about him at getliberty.org. As always, my friend, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Michael. Take care. Bye.
All right, we got a special guest coming up in the next segment. He is Dr. Sam Magoo with Discovery Medical Center. I wanted to bring him on because I got to talk about them and why, if you're having pain issues, you need to visit them today. So we'll do that next here on the Yaffe program. Stay with us.
Yaffe is on WVNN.